Sean Kidney, thank you to be with us today. You are the CEO of Climate Bonds. What is it, Climate Bonds?
Sure. Well, we're an NGO, non-government organisation, based in London but work around the world, figuring out how to mobilise debt capital markets for climate change solutions. It's a simple proposition. We have to shift something like $36 to $50 trillion of capital into climate solutions by 2050. The bond market has $80 trillion outstanding. The equities market has $53 trillion outstanding. All the work's been done on equities. Time for some work on the bond market. That's the proposition.
Mm-hmm. So, does the crisis change the way investors were feeling about the subject of climate?
No, I don't think the crisis has changed. I would love to think there was a greater appreciation of systemic risk as a result of the crisis, and climate change is a systemic risk issue, but I'm not sure that's particularly the case. However, some things have changed. One is that in the socially responsible investment market, there is an appreciation that they were too much in equities. In fact, 99% in equities before 2008. They need to rethink. So they're searching for product. That's a $7 trillion market globally, and that's driving demand for green product. That's very useful to do. The other thing that's changed in general is the appreciation that there aren't that many free lunches in the world. So the stratospheric equity benefits people were getting in the 2000 to 2008 were illusory. And if you look at a long time frame, equities slightly outperform bonds, but with greater volatility. So you do need to have a portfolio that matches. And that's why we've seen the age of bonds, money going back into bonds and continuing. There have been net inflows into bonds since 2008. There's been a regrowth in equities in the last year, but that's coming from cash management. And that's part of a global institutional investor reweighting, especially those investors who have long-term issues around matching assets and liabilities, and the risk factors for them and the buy and hold investors are changing their thinking a little bit.
We have a lot of debates about the climate changing. You have seen, like me, maybe some people, we don't think about it, we don't want to talk about it. Do we have more figures about that to convince investors to come and to invest more? Because if we don't have a figure of the disaster, maybe they will continue to go to equity.
I think it's very hard for investors to calibrate an abstract climate risk into a portfolio management. I mean, there are some things you can do. For example, there is clearly an issue around stranded asset risks of some high carbon investments that people need to be cognizant of. Coal plants, coal mines, and so on. If you're not watching that and reading the Standards and Poor's report, then you're being deficient in terms of your fiduciary duty, clearly. But that's a small slice of the portfolio. On the plus side, there are clearly significant growth opportunities that investors are missing in green growth. I mean, solar grew 42% last year, right? Now, if you look at the solar investment figures, it actually went down globally, but the unit price went way down globally, and the actual deployment went up enormously. So, interesting thing happens. Now, you'd be mad not to find some way to be exposed to it. You may not want to be exposed to small cap investments, okay? They're volatile, but they're volatile in every industry. Solar infrastructure is going to look good going forward, etc., etc. Now, one of the things we try and do is to translate, pardon me, the International Energy Agency's prognostications about the kind of world we have to build to avoid catastrophe. Because at the moment, we're on the road to catastrophe, as the IEA says. A 6 to 7 degree warming world is one where our portfolios evaporate like water on a hot day. That's what it looks like. To avoid that, what we've actually got to do is do an awful lot of kit building on the ground. This is very similar to Keynesian stimulus, except it's productive investments. It's not digging holes in the ground and filling them up again. These are things that will earn money over time. These are not empty apartments in Las Vegas that fuel the 2008 crash in the US. And so that's narrative of how the change has to happen, and then the investment opportunities is a critical part of what we're doing to explain to investors, at the very minimum, you need to be thinking about how to expose yourself to what is likely to be a long boom.
For the investor, if we have seen the amount of money in this bond market, it's If you compare to equity market, it's smallest at now.
Sure.
But what will be the next step to have more investor, to have
It's not that small. Mm-hmm. It's not that small. There is a labeled green bond market where people have gone to market waving the flag, we are green, come over here, which is worth about $30 billion globally outstanding now. Okay, it's growing very fast from a very small base. But in our annual snapshot of pure play bonds related to climate, which we do of HSBC each year, we find $400 billion already out there, many of which are in people's portfolios. SNCF rail bonds are climate bonds because we need to preference public transport and rail going forward as a mitigation strategy, and so on and so on. So you've actually already got a reasonable scale, $400 billion is enough to talk about, and it is 89% investment grade, very important. Unlike in the equity space, which has all been scary small cap stuff, in the bond stuff, it's an investment grade universe. The labelled green bond, the stuff where people have waved the flag up front, that's 100% investment grade. So, you know, it's still relatively small, but it's not non-existent. It's actually, you've actually got liquidity.
Mm-hmm. We have expectation of 15 billions in 2000 and this year?
The labelled market, the flag wave will be 40 billion. Mm-hmm. But last year, bonds issued related to climate change pure play were 93 billion. Bonds issued that were labelled green were 11 billion. We want to try and make all of those 93 billion labelled green as part of giving investors a discovery tool. That's what it is, it's a discovery tool. This year we expect 40 billion issuance minimum, and next year we expect 100 billion. I can go into detail why, but that's a fairly comfortable prediction on our part. So that's the labelled market. You know, once you get to 100 billion universe, if we go to the UN climate negotiations in Paris at the end of 2015 and we say, by the way, we've done $100 billion of green bonds this year, what have your governments done exactly? Then I think we've got a good story for the French government to use in trying to collect together prime ministers and presidents of other countries and say, do something.
Maybe to finish about that, what will be your best argument, best idea to convince more people? Because we know all that it's a real subject, but in fact we see a small development, too slowly, maybe it's too slowly.
Oh yes, so it is too slow.
How to convince more people?
Look, from an investor perspective, let me put it this way. We all know climate change is an issue, and even those of us as skeptics still know really it's an issue. They're just not sure what to do about it. But it's very difficult for us to find things to do apart from change the light bulbs in our house, which you should do, by the way, if you haven't done. However, if you're offered two investment products, one is green and one is brown, let's say, and they have the same interest rate, and they have the same risk profile and rating, and one as a bonus goes towards investments that are critical to a rapid transition to address climate change, well, I think you'd at least probably think seriously about the green one. Given it's the same, why wouldn't you? Because it's a bonus feature. You're getting a free set of steak knives, essentially. And that's the fundamental proposition to investors. That's what we're trying to do. And I think that's why the market's beginning to take off. For different parties, it's different. For governments, the issue is, look, we think there are a lot of investors, as shown by this current market, who care enough that they'll take the steak knives that are on offer. So what can you do, which you haven't been thinking about because you've been stuck and how do I have to tax people to do more and so on, which is actually simple and cheap, that could deliver the equivalent of the steak knives to make investors move? And actually, turns out it's not that hard. And that's the agenda for the next few years.
So we'll talk again, I'm sure. Thank you to have been with us, Sean Kidney.
Thank you very much, Didier.